Okay, and now we are being recorded, and if you miss anything during the call tonight, I will have the recording sent to you by within the next 24 hours, so you'll have a chance to listen to it again. You can even save it as an MP3 on your own desktop and refer to it at any time. So as I mentioned, we will have time after each strategy for some questions and answers. So I'll walk you through that process when we get to that point in the presentation. Right now I've got everyone on presentation mode just to minimize any background noise. For those of you that I don't know already, this is Laura Rollins, and I'm an attention and ADHD coach based in southeastern Michigan. And my passion is really to support and inspire independence and success for children, teens, and adults who experience attention-related challenges. My clients are able to overcome challenges such as time management, organization, study skills, focusing, and other similar challenges. Some of my clients are diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, while others simply want assistance with their specific challenges. I partner with my clients to help them establish clear goals and maximize their potential to reach their goals. And for those of you that are interested, I meet with my clients both in person or on the phone. And in person, I meet with them at a wellness center called Be Well in Birmingham, Michigan. And then, like I say, I meet with other clients over the phone, so we're not limited at all geographically. If you are interested in learning more about individual coaching, you can review the What to Expect tab at www.myattentioncoach.com. As we go through the strategies tonight, I would encourage you to take notes and think about one or two strategies that you can implement. Think of the strategies that I'm going through as thought starters, and just think about how you might be able to apply them within your own life or within the relationships that are part of your own life, whether it's work, family, or play. So the first strategy that I want to go over is asking questions. And I'll apologize ahead of time for I've got a bit of a dry cough right now, so I'll be taking some tea breaks here too. But asking questions is such an important part of coaching, and it's really something that you can learn to apply in your own life. And how to ask insightful questions is something that I learned about during my coach training. And powerful questioning is one of the core competencies of the International Coach Federation, and significant questioning is one of the core competencies of the Institute for the Advancement of ADHD Coaching. And I mention that just to show you the consistency of questioning as a really key coaching strategy. And I encourage you to think of ways that you can either ask questions of yourself and change some of that self-talk that you have to some positive self-talk, and also asking questions of other people. So first, let me start with part of the technical definition from the International Coach Federation's website. They define powerful questioning as the ability to ask questions that reveal the information needed for maximum benefit to the coaching relationship and the client. In particular, what will be of interest to you is that the International Coach Federation identifies that the coach asks questions that stimulate discovery, insight, commitment, or action. And also the coach asks open-ended questions that will create greater clarity or new learning for the client. And from my own personal perspective with coaching, my ADHD clients especially, I have found that if we ask insightful and powerful questions of ourselves, that our children, our parents, spouses, friends, employees, really anyone, we can discover new answers and new ways of communicating. So as an example, if you're a parent and your child brings home grades that aren't what you expected them to be, there's two questions that I would like to throw out to you. One is, you could ask them, why did you get this grade? And it almost is going to automatically bring out a defensive answer. But then you could ask them, well, what can you do differently next grading period? And really look forward with your questioning. And try to start some of your questions with what as opposed to why. And that will really help open up your child when you're having these types of discussions. Now, if you don't have a child, let's take a look at how this can help you with communicating with friends. And I'm going to take a really easy example to illustrate this. And it doesn't even have to be anything remotely adversarial. But let's say you and a friend are getting together this weekend. And there's two different questions you could ask. Do you want to go to the movies? That's going to give you a yes or no question. Or you could ask, well, what are some things that we've never done before, or maybe we haven't done in a while? And if you ask about things that you've never done before, you'll generate a lot more options than if you just focus on the movies. Now, here's where some note-taking is going to give you some benefit as you go forward. I'm going to share some additional questions with you for your consideration. And what I'd like you to do is to pick one question that you can ask somebody or yourself tomorrow and see if it helps you start a powerful conversation. So here's question number one. What do you want to accomplish? So an example of asking myself this, maybe I write down at the top of my journal page, what do I want to accomplish this month? And you can just brainstorm different things that you want to accomplish. Or you could ask someone that you've just met, what do you love to do? And that's really going to generate a lot of excitement from them, and you're going to get to know them better than if you were asking some closed-ended questions. If someone comes to you with a challenge, you could ask them, well, what can you do differently? This kind of goes to the idea of possibly the child who has a concern about their grades, or maybe they've got a concern at school. And really, you can apply it with any interpersonal relationships. Another good question to ask yourself or someone else is, what goals do you have for the next year? And that time frame doesn't have to be a year. It can be the next day, week, month, quarter, 6 months. It doesn't really matter, but it's more getting someone or getting yourself to think about what goals do you have. And this is one that I really like. What makes you the most proud? That's another good one when you're getting to know somebody, because it really, you can really help bring them joy for thinking about ways that they've been proud of themselves, but it also helps you get to know them better. For more questions, if you haven't had a chance to write all of these down, you can go to my blog at myattentioncoach.com and enter questions in the search bar. And you'll find a blog that I wrote about 6 months ago, but I think it's still relevant with some questions. And then, as I mentioned, the other tip that I really do want to stress is, and it's a tip that's been shared with me by another coach, is to ask more questions that begin with what. And that can make the person answering feel less intimidated, as I said, than some of the why questions that are still open-ended, but they might still put someone on the defensive. So that's what I have for questioning, and I am going now, I'm not sure if you could all hear the recorded voice, but I just put us all on question and answer mode. And if you want to unmute yourself, you can press *6 on your phone and feel free to ask me any questions for clarification on the strategy of using questions. Okay, that's okay. Sounds like we have a shyer group. I'm going to go ahead and leave us on Q&A mode, and then if you do have a question as we go throughout the rest of the presentation tonight, feel free to unmute yourself with *6 and then, you know, just interrupt me and we'll try to answer questions throughout. The next strategy that I want to cover is active listening. And this really fits well with asking insightful and powerful questions. So these two strategies really do go hand in hand. Because when you're asking powerful questions, you want to be careful to actively listen to the answer. Don't assume that you know the answer ahead of time. That's only going to negate the powerful question that you just went to the trouble of answering. So from the International Coach Federation website, they define active listening as the ability to focus completely on what the client is saying and is not saying, to understand the meaning of what is said in the context of the client's desires, and to support client self-expression. Professional listening is how the Institute for the Advancement of ADHD Coaching states it, and it's really very similar qualities. Now, as you probably know, excuse me, ADHD can sometimes make active listening quite difficult, and you could experience impulsivity that might drive you to interrupt the speaker. So I want to address that one first and help you apply the strategy of active listening. As an exercise, find a friend and take turns telling each other a story of 3 to 5 minutes. And then if you're listening to the story the first time, then reflect back to the speaker what they just said. And then have a really open discussion with your friend about what got in the way of your listening and brainstorm ways that you can more actively listen in the future. Now, your ADHD might bring you challenges around attentiveness. And if you are inattentive with ADHD, you might drift off and lose focus during a boring meeting or even a boring conversation, because sometimes it's really hard to force yourself to focus. So one activity that you can try to help you actively listen when you're losing focus is to try fidgeting. And one of my coaching colleagues by the name of Sarah Wright and her co-author Roland Rotz wrote a book called Fidget to Focus. And to help illustrate the concept of fidget to focus, I'd like to read a couple of excerpts from their website. So in answer to the question of what do you mean by fidgeting, they say that we use fidgets to have enough going on that our brains remain comfortably activated, which in turn allows us to pay attention to what we need to pay attention to. For instance, walking while talking. And I have a client who finds that this strategy is really beneficial during our coaching sessions and is often walking while we're talking on the phone for our coaching sessions. Or it might be doodling notes while listening to a lecture, or listening to music while we're doing our homework, or chewing gum while taking a test. So Sarah and Roland consider all of these to be fidgets that help people to focus. Now, they do point out that they don't believe that all fidgeting is good. They believe that fidgeting, rather than being part of the quote, ADD pathology, is actually a perfect natural adaptation to living with a brain that is at its best with a higher level of stimulation than is a typical brain. And in advocating fidgeting, they don't advocate disruptive behavior. To be a good fidget, it has to not only work for you, but it also has to work within the situation and with the people that you're around. So it's something that has to be implemented judiciously, but if you're interested in learning more, their book is, they have a website actually called fidgettofocus.com, and you can order the book there, and I also think that you can order it on Amazon.com. So those are the things that I wanted to talk about with regard to active listening and give you a couple of sub-strategies, so to speak, to help you actively listen in your daily life. And also I encourage you and put out there that you want to actively listen to yourself as well as other people. So if anyone has any questions about that or would like more information, I'll give you a second to unmute yourself. Again, that's with *6. Okay, wanted to give everyone a chance. Okay, well, the next strategy that I want to talk about is to focus on what works for you. And I just call this focus on you, and you in capital letters. If you focus on strategies that work for you, you'll be more successful than if you focus on strategies that work for me but don't resonate with you. And this is a challenge for some of my clients because they come to me for expertise in ADHD and ADHD coaching strategies. And those are certainly things that I'm trained in and educated in. But a key component of coaching is to help the client discover what will work best for them. And the way I often do this is to ask the types of questions that I discussed first. And to apply this strategy of focusing on you, I really recommend doing a gut check. When someone recommends something new for a challenge or problem that you're experiencing, if it doesn't resonate with you in your gut, it might not be the right thing for you. Now, it doesn't mean that you should give up looking for a solution, though. Keep searching for something that does feel right when you give it that gut check. Now, on the other hand, you don't want to throw out every idea that someone gives to you. And if you find yourself doing that, you might want to give something new a try just to see if it has a different result than you expected. So it's a balance of focusing on what works right for you and not being afraid to try new things. So that's that third strategy. So far, we have covered three of my six favorite strategies. The first one is using questioning, both with yourself and with others, and using insightful, powerful questions. The next is active listening. And then the third is to focus on what works for you. So again, I want to take a quick break and give you the chance to unmute yourself and ask me any questions about focusing on you or the other two strategies that we talked about. And that's star 6 again. Okay. I do want to take a quick break here and just tell you a little bit about my group coaching program. I'm in the middle of my first one that started back in March, and it's extremely rewarding for me and for the participants. It's been a really great experience. And group coaching is a way that if you're interested in coaching, you can give it a try. The fee is going to be $60 for the 6 weeks, and so that's just $10 for each session. It's less than $10 an hour because each session is about an hour and 15 minutes long, and I also provide email and text support in between the calls, and we'll also pair you up with a coaching partner. And I think that's actually been one of the most valuable things from the current program because you actually get someone to partner up with to bounce ideas off of them. So as a bonus to those of you that are on tonight's call, if you register for the next group coaching program, which starts April 30th at noon Eastern Daylight Savings Time, if you register for that and pay by this Friday, April 16th, I'll throw in one additional perk, and that's going to be a free one-on-one coaching session from me. So that's something that if you get in there and register by April 16th. Now, I will tell you, I don't have the PayPal link set up quite yet on my website. So if you want to get registered, just contact me through our Contact Us page, or you can email me at laura@myattentioncoach.com, and that's where you got the confirmation email for today's call. So you can just reply to that and let me know that you'd like to register, and I can either get that button set up by that time, or I can send you an invoice through PayPal. So if anyone has any questions on that, feel free to unmute and ask now. Okay. So we've discussed the strategy of asking questions, the strategy of active listening, and doing what works for you. So we're halfway there. So it looks like you might even get done a little before 10 tonight. The next strategy I will cover is accountability. And when coaching, as a coach, I keep my clients accountable to my clients' agenda and goals. and from the Institute for the Advancement of ADHD Coaching. From their core competencies, one of them is to manage progress through accountability and monitoring, to hold attention on what's important to the client and support the client to take action. So some of the methods that we use as coaches to create accountability are co-creating what they call between the session aspects of a coaching partnership and incorporate any agreed upon actions into the coaching plan. Supporting a client in developing skills that they need for their self-directed action. So it might be something, they just don't know how to get organized. Might be someone who really wants to get organized, but they just really don't know where to begin. So some of that accountability is going to come out of helping them learn the skills that they need to get started. And then as a coach, I also assist my clients in choosing and using self-monitoring tools. Another thing that I do with my clients is we have check-ins throughout the week, and it can be as often as daily. Sometimes that doesn't work for people. But that accountability of knowing that you as my client are going to check in with me periodically throughout the week helps keep you accountable to your goal. So it's not that you're being accountable to me because it's your goal. It's not my goal. But it's a way to remember to be accountable to your goals. And you can implement this strategy, but you're going to probably need a partner because it's hard to be accountable without someone else reminding us sometimes. And you could give it a try, but I would really recommend trying it with a partner. So think about someone that you can talk to about keeping you on track towards your goals. Someone that you trust enough to tell them what your goals are, but also that you trust them enough to challenge you, and perhaps you can challenge them back so that it isn't a matter of, oh yeah, we'll do that, and then you're kind of nervous to talk to them about it again in the future. And then talk to someone in the next couple of days and commit to an action that you will take over the next week and ask your partner, and it's really an accountability partner, to follow up with you at an agreed time and method. So it could be a phone call, it could be an email. If it's someone at work, maybe you meet for coffee before work one day and just spend 10 minutes checking in. How are you doing on your goal? How am I doing on mine? You know, this is accountability is something that is often recommended when someone is losing weight, for example. And it's really a matter of helping you stay accountable to change a behavior that you're looking to change. So that's what I had on accountability, and I'd like to open the lines if anyone has any questions. Okay. Sounds good.
This line is now unmuted.
Oh, I have a line that's unmuted. Do we have a question?
Yes, you do. My question is, it's basically twofold. Number one, for the accountability aspect, I find myself that I will get, as an example, right now I'm unemployed. I've been told I am seeing a counselor, and the counselor and other people in my life had said, hey, put aside the networking situation for a while. You know, you're getting yourself all bent out of shape. Put it aside. Leave it alone. But there's this, like, inner mode of saying, no, 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 you've got to keep going. And I don't know how to get that type of voice from going.
Okay.
Stop myself from continuing to feeling like I've got to do this, when I'm being told, hey, take a break. You need a break. And that's when I look down on myself and saying, well, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're not looking for a job.
Okay, so you're almost putting,
too much
emphasis or accountability on the networking and finding a job as opposed to the accountability of giving yourself a break.
Exactly.
Okay.
I've been up till 2 o'clock in the morning doing this, and then getting back up at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock again.
Well, one thing you might want to talk about with your counselor is how can you be accountable, how can your counselor help you be accountable to some of that self-care that he or she is talking about with you?
We have discussed that somewhat, and since I see him only once a week and he's a sole practitioner, and he'll say, just leave it alone. And yet inside of me, I grew up with, do it until you find a job or do what you're doing. And that's my first question. My second question is, you had mentioned about saying things that maybe you don't want to say. And I find myself that when I feel I'm getting angry or picked on, even at the age of 60, that I will say something as when I was let go from my last job, but I truly felt it was not anything that I did. I just think it was that the employee had been there for 30 years, and here comes a new kid in, and I was so upset, and I've done this before. It's like, I'm just going to take the car and just go over in the river and the heck with everybody else and carried on. And they had said, we're going to call your husband. I said, fine, go ahead. He doesn't care, which I know is entirely different. But I have this horrible habit of spouting off, and I don't know how to stop that.
And that might be something to partner with someone to get some practice role-playing and working through some of that impulsivity and, throwing out some questions to each other that might be controversial. And it's in a safe setting, and then just get some practice of a different way to say it.
Because, I know the proper and the professional way of doing it. I was raised with that. But it's just, I get so caught up and so mad inside myself that I don't know any other way of taking it out.
Mm-hmm. And that's where it's a skill that you need to build. And, if you practice that skill, you can build that more over time.
Can that be actually built over time?
I believe it can be.
Because I don't like it. I'll be very honest with you. It's not something that I'm proud of.
And I think it's something that's probably ingrained. So it's going to take practice. But I think that if you commit to it, that you can make some progress there.
Because, I've lately, I've been going through some real rough things, and I know I never knew way back when what was going on until probably 10 years ago when somebody actually took the time to say, yes, you are diagnosed with attention deficit, and then everything from way back when came into play. It came into play about the comprehension. It came into play about why I couldn't focus, why I couldn't just sit there and read with five people around me. I had to be doing
that. Yeah, that's actually a very common experience for people. Definitely. Yeah.
And that's why I just, now, I'm the last 10 years I've been even more angry. I've been very, very angry and been saying, and I strongly feel that, I am so different from everybody else out there that I don't belong in this society.
Hmm. That's an interesting perspective, and I think that, you know, you're in the right place to be learning about some coaching strategies, because I will tell you that there are very many people out there that experience so many challenges with ADHD, and that you're not alone, if that helps you.
Okay, I just, you know, I've really never talked, I mean, my sister was a sixth grade teacher, and she says, you know, I think I've got it, you know, she says, I think I probably have it too, but I don't recognize it. But she was in a whole different ballgame than what I've considered myself in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she got through 4 years of college, she, you know, went to one of the better high schools and maintained a great grade point. And everything came more natural to her, more of a up mood, very up, very positive, very uplifting. And I feel like I'm, you know, sad sack, even though I try not to be.
And
that's really frustrating.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully you can put some of these strategies to work for you and make some progress in that regard.
Okay. But these are normal.
Mm-hmm. Those are definitely things that I've seen with other clients.
Okay. Did you want me to get from unmute now?
Yeah, go ahead and you can just do *6 to put yourself back on mute, and then I'll go ahead and cover the other the others.
Yeah, because I don't want to take up all your time.
Okay, no, I love getting questions, though. You opened the door for everybody.
Yeah, I just, I never thought I'd be feeling this way at this point in my life, and that's why I didn't know if the attention deficit could be part of it, and you just answered the question.
Mm-hmm. I think it can be, yep.
Okay.
Okay, so thank you so much for those questions. And that was the accountability factor. And then we really also talked about ways to build skills around impulsivity. And those things do take practice. And even with coaching, though, they do take some time. So I really want to encourage you to keep on going if that is a challenge that you face. So the next strategy is to build structure into your daily life. And this is something through coaching that I do cover with my coaching clients. And really the key here is to make routines a routine. And start with something small. So what I mean by that is if someone is chronically late to work, they might want to start with developing a routine for getting ready for work in the morning. And it might be as simple as be up and out of bed by 6 a.m., take shower and brush teeth by 6:20 a.m., eat breakfast, and I guess eat breakfast would probably be one in and of itself if I was setting up this routine. Eat breakfast by 6:40. And get into the car and drive to work at 7 o'clock, if that time frame works for you. But start with something relatively small and then build on it. If you're disorganized, identify something that you frequently lose. And a lot of people that I talk to with ADHD frequently lose their keys. So you can probably relate to that. So pick somewhere to always keep your keys. And make a short routine to identify, okay, here's where I'm keeping my keys. I'm going to walk in the door, set down my briefcase, my purse, whatever I have, and then I'm going to put my keys in here, whether it's on a hook by the door, whether it's in a certain drawer. Maybe it's in a certain place on the kitchen counter. I'm not saying it has to be, you know, somewhere out of sight, because maybe you need it within your sight. You need your keys within your sight. But start with something small like that, and then try it for 3 weeks, and put up a note to remind yourself, and change that note every few days to make sure that it doesn't become part of the wallpaper. And if you try it for 3 weeks straight, and keep going after you hit setbacks, I am going to bet that you're going to make progress with not losing your keys. So notice I didn't say if you're disorganized, go completely clear out your office this weekend and get it all organized right now. Because I think that is, when I think about setting goals, I don't think that that's a realistic goal if someone has a, you know, an office that's very, very disorganized. And you want to start small and then build momentum to build that structure into your daily life. So the key there is really just to make routines a routine in your life. So if anyone has any questions on how they can build structure into their life, or if anyone has an example maybe of structure that you'd like to build into your life and you'd like some ideas, I'd be happy to answer those questions. Okay. All right. Seeing none, we'll move on to the sixth and final strategy, and that's planning. And really, planning, I consider that a sub strategy of building structure into your daily life. But it's really a structure that deserves more time from so many of us. And again, as you know from the call so far, I like to go back to some of the core competencies from some of the coaching organizations. And the Institute for the Advancement of ADHD Coaching talks about planning and goal setting as the ability to develop and maintain an effective coaching plan, and talks about the coach effectively preparing, organizing, and reviewing the client information obtained during sessions and facilitating the client's ability to focus on the coaching plan and remaining open to adjusting actions based on the coaching process. So the coach also notices that planning might be overwhelming and encourages the client to stay in the planning process. Now, trust me, I understand that planning can be difficult if you have ADHD, and you might prefer the adrenaline of doing things in the moment, or you might feel boxed in if you feel like that you have to commit to a plan. But to illustrate the importance of planning, I want to talk about some things that can happen if you don't plan. You might be busy, but you might not be working on important things. You might overcommit and have too busy of a schedule to have an effective week for yourself. You might miss deadlines or turn in assignments late, and you might be working on things frantically at the last minute. So you might be sitting there now thinking, okay, yeah, those things happen to me, but Laura, you don't get the point. I simply don't have the time to plan. What I would ask you to do is to try this activity. This weekend, get out your planner, and if you don't have a planner, if you have even a calendar, get out something that you can plan with. And whether it's Saturday or Sunday, or even Friday, spend 10 minutes planning next week. Just 10 minutes. Set a timer, do it for 10 minutes, and stop and walk away. And every day, spend 5 minutes reflecting on your day and planning your next day. And again, set a timer, do it every day for 5 minutes, and then do it again next week. And what that's going to do for you is that's going to start building that habit. Now, ideally, is 10 minutes for your weekly planning and 5 minutes for your daily planning going to be enough? Probably not in the long run. But if you're not planning right now, the way to start this strategy is, again, to start small. And 10 minutes for your weekly and 5 minutes every day, I know you can find that time in your day, and I think you'll really find some big benefits. So I know this is a tough topic for a lot of people. So if anyone has any questions, we've still got time. And that was our sixth strategy. So we've still got time if anyone has any more questions.
Hey, Laura?
Do we have? Yeah.
Yeah,
I have a question a little bit off topic. but it's something I've been doing research to find out what the main problems are of clients with attention deficit. What do your clients, what's the most common problem your clients have?
I would say probably the most common problem is planning. And I say that from the standpoint of it could be not feeling like they have the time to plan or trying to fit too much into a week or a day. And I think that's also part of our society today, but I think it's exacerbated with when someone has ADHD.
Yes.
So I would really say the planning aspect.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Laura?
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, as you know, just some comments, really. I totally agree with you. I think that planning is the really is crucial and important, and I think that all of those tips are good ones. I've tried them myself many times. And I think it's important as someone who has ADD just to mention, especially as encouragement to those who have clients and to those that have ADD, I was thinking of the caller. None of this, it's important to remember that none of this feels normal. None of it is natural. None of it is going to feel like a quick fix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it will be very uncomfortable at first. It won't seem like it's helping at all. It takes a while, you know, of building this habit to understand that, yes, it will. And that's what's the hard part. And that's if I were coaching someone with ADD, I would totally just help, you know, try to get them to put some faith and trust and believe in it first. Because in the process of working really hard to do it, it's like going against your natural, you know, attention deficit disorder. It's not your natural way.
Yeah, no, that's such a great point. Thank you for sharing that. Absolutely.
It's important to keep on. It's even more important to really encourage, whether it's yourself or someone else, to set those timers. Sit down and make that time to actually do it, even if it doesn't seem like it's really coming to any instant good, just to keep doing it and to continuously tweak that plan as events in their day come up and they realize, gee, you know, is this really going to help me meet my goals? Gee, maybe not. So that's where the coaching comes in, too. I would guess that a lot of time of coaching is actually spent in assisting that person be an effective planner. So that would be my comment.
Thank you for sharing that. I wholeheartedly agree. And, you know, something that I often talk about with clients and in my workshops is the 3-week time frame. And mm-hmm. for some people, that could actually be too short, but you know, I go back to when I first learned to use a Franklin planner, and you know, I think they tell you to try it for either 3 weeks or 4 weeks, but that you need that much time at a minimum to build a new habit. And you're
that's
right,
exactly
especially
right.
With ADHD. Yeah, and especially with ADHD, these strategies, they're effective, but they're not natural. And thank you so much for raising those points.
Oh,
I
sure.
appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for this opportunity to listen to these great tips.
I'm glad you were able to join us.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Anyone else have anything else to add before we close for the night? And also to let you know, I am planning to do at least one teleclass every month, and I'm really hoping to do 2 classes each month if I can generate enough interest, and I also want to bring in some additional speakers. Last month I had 3 other ADHD coaches as guests on my teleclass, and I want to bring in other speakers on topics like nutrition and organization, and I'll be doing one, looks like, with a home healthcare company to help caregivers become maybe more organized. So look for announcements from me on my newsletter But also feel free to email me if you have any topics that you'd like to see me offer on our free teleclasses here with myattentioncoach.com. And just one last time before we close, just a reminder that if you register for the group coaching by this Friday, April 16th, that I will throw in an hour of free one-on-one coaching. And I also, this just hit me, but what I want to do too is, because you're all guests on my call tonight, what I'd like to do is also offer, if you're interested in purchasing individual coaching for yourself, my regular fee is $200 a month for 4 weeks of coaching, or $120 a month for 2 weeks of coaching in the month. And if you're interested in trying that out for being on the call tonight, I'd offer you a 25% discount off of my regular prices. So again, you'd need to register and pay by Friday, but I'll give you that special offer here tonight. So does anyone else have any other questions?
I had one more.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Could you please recap that group coaching session for me, what the purpose of that is and what it's all about?
Sure, absolutely. Happy to. What the group coaching is it's a six-week program, and I'm in the middle of one program right now, and I'll start my next one on April 30th. It's going to be at from 12 noon Eastern Daylight Savings Time to 1:15 p.m. each Friday for six Fridays. And we'll go through a process of identifying the challenges that you want to work on, setting goals, identifying your strengths, because there's a lot of research out there that talks about using your strengths to build your skills is going to be a more effective method of overcoming your challenges. Then we'll work together to build action plans to achieve your goals, and then we'll check in over the course of the group coaching to help you move forward towards those goals. And it's 6 weeks. I also, in between the weekly sessions, I offer email and text support with any questions and concerns that someone might have, and that's $60 for the six-week program. And I will have no more than eight people in the group coaching, and you'll also have a coaching partner that you can talk to in between the coaching sessions. You'll have some homework in between and talk with your coaching partner to really help you kind of solidify what you're learning through the group coaching process.
And that's locally here in Southeast Michigan?
Well, actually, it's over the phone.
Oh, is
so,
it?
So, yeah. And I already have one person from Dubai that is interested in participating in that program. And the program that I have right now, I actually have one person from as far away as California and a couple of other places. So it can really be from wherever, but certainly if you're here in Southeast Michigan where I'm based, I'm happy to have you.
So the time you mentioned is Eastern time?
Yes, yep.
Okay.
And then you can just, there's information on my website. I should have the PayPal link up there by tomorrow, but if you're interested, just email me and we can get it set up directly through email as well.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions or comments before we close for the night? Okay. Well, thanks, everyone. Thanks for your participation. Glad everyone had a chance to ask some questions. And I will send out the recording tomorrow, and you'll be able to listen to it as many times as you want. And just let me know if you have any questions as you go forward. Have a great night, everyone.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks. Bye-bye.